The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
Now, as you know, Today FM's big busk for Focus Ireland is taking place on Friday the 12th of April. It's because over 13,500 people are without a home in Ireland. That's the equivalent of the entire population of Mallow in North County Cork. Just imagine not being able to climb into your own bed every night, not being able to cook your own dinner, trying to hide every day the fear in your eyes from your children, which is the daily reality for thousands of families. You can donate, of course, right now. Very simple. You go to todayfm.com/busk. And here in The Last Word in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be meeting some people with experience of homelessness. They're going to be telling us their stories to just explain why it is that it's so important to support Focus Ireland. And one of the ambassadors that I met when I recently went to the Focus Ireland headquarters in Temple Bar was James Flanagan. He turned 20 earlier this month, and I asked him when he first got involved with Focus Ireland.
It started off when I was about from the age of two or three, and I got involved with them then because I was living on street, rough, sleeping in and out of cars, and then eventually we moved on to like single mothers' homes and then hostels, and then we eventually got a place in Focus Ireland in Stanhope Green, and I've been living there ever since.
Do you remember going back to being very small, being a very small child, sleeping in cars and being homeless?
I have vivid images of like sleeping in the car and knowing where it was. It was actually outside my nanny's house, and bits and bobs of it. Like, I don't really know the full detail, obviously, because I was so young. It's mainly from my mother explaining to me what was going on and how she had to grow up struggling, like raising me through that environment.
Okay, and can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, how did that come about?
So, like I said, yeah, at the age of three, it was around then. But it's mainly because of, I'd say it was with me and family and being involved in, like, obviously drugs and stuff. And that just gets you into deeper end, into homelessness. It's like, it's one of the main causes of it. It puts people deep into it. And that's what happened in my family. And we were constantly going through it and constantly going, like, my mother on and off, like, with drugs. And then eventually she fully got off it and never touched one. And then our life just got better and better. And I started working then. Obviously, I left school at a young age. I was only 15 when I left school, so.
Why did you leave school at 15?
So I left school at 15. Most people say it's like, a lot of people thought it was just an average teenager. You didn't want to go to school. You're just lazy. You didn't want to get up. It wasn't that. It felt like I was betrayed by my school. It felt like I was just left in the back of the class because I knew what I was capable of and they just never listened. There was 30 people in the class, teachers explaining something, only about 15 I listened, the other 15 aren't. But that teacher's not going to focus on them. So I just got really bad and I didn't know what to do. So I asked my mother, could I leave? And she was like, you can't, because you don't know what could happen to you. You could end up back being homeless or even worse, or the, like, obviously you get arrested for like neglecting your kid if you're off school. So we didn't know what to do. But eventually we got a school counsellor for me and he brought me into a non-mainstream school and I started that near my junior sort. And constantly doing that and being able to progress into my junior sort and finishing it with higher merits, even though from the background I came from and leaving school so young, people wouldn't thought I'd do it. And then after that I went on to higher level, and then after that I worked in Intel, and then a couple months later I was supervisor in it, and now I'm here. So
you're still working there, are you?
I left the main supervisor part because they wanted to do something else, so I needed higher level education, which would be apprenticeships. So then I started an electrical apprenticeship in Intel.
And tell us a little bit about the help that you would have got from Focus Ireland over the years as well.
So where I lived, there was a lot of staff and a lot of Focus staff, obviously in Stanhope. That's where Sister Stan lives as well. And it's just amazing the amount of stuff you could do. They have, like, you can go into the staff building, you'd be able to play pool, you'd be able to read books, you'd be able to go on a computer, learn. And for other people, even with drug problems, they'd have courses for them. And right outside Stanhope, there's like a alcohol anonymous place. It was amazing. It's for anything you wanted to get off or do something or evolve, you could do it. So
ever any temptation on your part to get involved with drink and drugs, like many teenagers do?
That's the thing. I've never touched a drink, smoke or any drugs in my whole entire life. I don't know how. Like, it's hard to explain it because I just was never tempted into it, even though I grew up around it and lived around it my whole entire life. I just saw it as that's going to put me in danger. That's going to put me right back at square one if I involve myself in that. Because I could see what I was doing to my mother and father. I was like, do I really want to do that again and put them through it? So I just kind of disciplined myself with constantly getting into work and engineering. Engineering was a big part of my life, and that helped me focus and stay disciplined away from drugs, smoking or drink. Like, I don't even go out. I don't really go. Like, most kids will go out to clubs or stuff like that. I've never gone to a club, so...
Yeah, because I'm going to ask, do you get put under pressure by others? Ah, come on, James, you got to get involved. There's no harm in a drink, no harm in doing something else.
I've heard people say, a lot of people say that to me, but then I sit there and explain to them why I wouldn't and why to say they shouldn't, because I could see the potential in them and they're kind of holding back on it. And when I have talked to them, it was people that went to school with me, and now they're fully qualified electricians making a great living for themselves. And these people and these, like, teenagers, you wouldn't think that they'd be capable of this. It was like hidden in them, the creativity. And thanks to like focus and places like this and non-mainstream skills, it brought it out in them, and you could see it happen. And it happened with me. Like, I'd never thought I'd work in Intel as a supervisor, working on billion-dollar machines. I'd never think that, but I've done it, so.
Yeah, if you hadn't had Focus Ireland, where do you think you'd be?
I actually don't know, because we don't know what else there is out there, because all I know is Focus and other charities that haven't really, like, been around. Or there's not that many. That's the problem, really. But without Focus, I'd probably be still searching and still constantly living out of cars, living through hostels and stuff like that. Because the place I'm in now, I could stay there forever. It's like a dream home. So,
with your mother?
Yeah.
Okay. And how is she now?
So she had an accident a while ago where a lorry, she was on the back of a bus, a lorry hit her and it went through her back, like the engine, and it cracked all of her spine, or, like, now the discs, they're missing, so it's just rubbing, and now she's living on a walker, so I kind of had to be there for her. Even though I work, I still had to be there for her and help her out.
As
so,
a carer?
Yeah.
Okay, that must be very tough for her, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, but you're around enough to be able to help.
Yeah, I'm there for support emotionally and physically, so.
And James, you talk about your mother a lot, and clearly you love and adore your mother. You mentioned your father once. What sort of relationship do you have with him?
So, obviously, I still have a relationship and I still talk to him. It's not really like I'm distant to him or I stay away from him. But obviously, he's in the same situation that we're in. And it's kind of like he doesn't want to get out of it. It's kind of like he's trapped. And with the position I have now, to being able to work and be able to be employed, I can kind of help others with that and help them with their CVs and help do this. And I tried to help my father out, but it feels like he's just held back and he doesn't want to do it. And it's weird because it's like he is my father, but I'm like trying to teach him how to get through his struggles. And that's what was weird growing up, because it was like you never really had people to look up to. It was just, yeah, it's kind of like I was my own father. It was like I had to look up to myself and like be proud of myself. You know what I mean? It's like weird because...
But you've had to become very self-reliant.
Yeah.
And self-confident, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, basically because of... It was just really, like, I couldn't talk to him about the same things I wanted to talk about. Like, if I want to talk about engineering or my next step or my next project, it would be totally different. He doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to talk about something like watching telly or something. Like, I don't even watch telly anymore. Like, I'm so focused on my future and being able to build it so I can help other people in troubles.
Given that you've seen both your mother and father experience addiction issues, does that make you fearful for yourself about that potentially could happen to you?
I've seen visions of if I was going through it and if I was like that, and I wouldn't know how to get out, because who could I talk to? Because if my mother and father were both on it and I was on it, then it's just a loop then, because everyone needs it and everyone's trying to get it. The household would be gone. We wouldn't have a house. We'd be back straight to square one. And it's kind of a fear, but now to who I am today, I don't think I'd ever in my whole entire life or any thought of touching a drug, smoke or drink, no matter how tempting it was, I don't think I'd ever, just from me past.
And then just how important is it to have that home, that physical home for yourself and your mother to go to assist in making sure that you don't fall down into that path?
It's so important, because it's like a foundation for you to stand on, to build your not only your career but your lifestyle. It makes you feel like an actual person, because when you're out on the street, like, experiencing it, you feel like an animal, because you're like out with animals, and it's like, I don't know, you feel like a stray dog walking around, and it's just disgusting. And eventually it was just like, when you got into them hostels and eventually you could build and regrow yourself, you kind of see back and looking back at sleeping on the streets, and then you see other people sleeping on the streets. Now that I have a house and you see other people on the streets, it just hurts you even 10 times more, because when you're in the same environment as someone else, you don't really go, ah, that poor, like, I feel bad for them, because you're literally in the same shoes as them. But now growing up like that and seeing the way people treat homeless people and look at them differently, I could never do that. No matter what position I'm in, I could always see myself being there.
How should people treat homeless people?
I feel like they should treat them like me or you, because they are like me or you. Anyone could be homeless. Anyone could go homeless. It could happen to you at any time. It's just you got to stay strong and keep a great mindset. But just treat them, like, try and help them, because they need help as much as they can, because the situation they're in is 10 times worse than the situation we are in, and they're surviving, they're in their survival instincts, so they're not really thinking, they're just trying to survive no matter what, and that's where drugs get involved, because it calms them down and gets them out of that state of mind, but they don't really realise that's just pushing them deeper into it.
And what's the best way we can help?
The best way to help is probably to donate, like the Focus Ireland or other charities, to help out homelessness, because right now it's the biggest crisis in Dublin and all over Ireland.
And that was James Flanagan, Focus Ireland ambassador, who I met at the Focus Ireland headquarters in Temple Bar recently. Don't forget, if you want to donate, todayfm.com/busk, and get involved on the 12th of April. Have a bit of fun while helping too.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.